Hello and welcome to episode 9. I'm Larry Vanderspiegel, no relation. The great certainty of death is greatly misunderstood by you humans. I have good news on this subject which will make you actually look forward to death, not because you hate your life, but because death is not the end or a beginning, it's simply a transition, as simple as walking out of your front door and going outside. An astronaut goes outside the spaceship wearing a spacesuit to do work on the spaceship. They then come back inside and takes off their spacesuit. All the other astronauts take the spacesuit and bury it in the ground and mourn the loss of the spacesuit. Absurd. Yes, isn't it? But that's exactly what humans do when a person dies currently. To understand death, you have to see the bigger picture. So in this episode, I will attempt to explain this. Our real self or soul, if you prefer, is a multidimensional, infinite being that, just like any matter, cannot be destroyed ever. It lasts forever. At some point in our infinite existence, we got bored. So someone made a game where the players temporarily forget that they are infinite and then shift their focus into a low-frequency vehicle, physical body. They then perceive the passage of time and experience many different situations and react to them, make choices of paths to follow. The physical vehicle even ages and parts wears out. Over time, the physical body vehicle becomes less and less able to support consciousness, so they have to exit it. At this point, they may or may not remember who we really are. They may choose to pick another physical body vehicle and experience another lifetime, or they eventually realize what is happening and move on to other experiences that doesn't include physical, low-frequency vehicles. Pretty much everyone has come back to this physical experience thousands of times. Just to confuse your mind even more, these are not sequential lives you're having, but they are all happening all at once. Your brain mind can't cope with that, so makes it seem like they are sequential. So you hearing this right now are focusing your consciousness here in your physical vehicle, but also in a physical vehicle on another planet elsewhere in the universe at a different point in time. You may also have a life on a planet without a physical body vehicle. You may be a rock in a desert 2 million years ago. A tree in your garden 100 years from now. There is a huge buffet of experiences to choose from, and we are experiencing many of them right now at different points in time and space and frequency. Keeping our consciousness focused in the physical requires vast amount of energy. Humans can't maintain it for long, so for 8 hours a day, we shift our focus out and go elsewhere. Many times we do this, we shift to a parallel lifetime or a parallel version of this life. Humans experience this as dreaming. Some people are gifted at this and can become aware that they are dreaming and take control of it. Others are so gifted they can push their consciousness out of their physical body at will and go explore all the different levels of reality. This is called the out-of-body experience or astral projection. So death can be thought of as a more permanent out-of-body experience, that is all. There is no real need to mourn the dead. They're still very much alive and feeling a lot better now. In fact, they're even more alive than you are. It's often reported that they resort back to their 20-something appearance and, of course, all disease and illness they had are gone. They can walk, run, dance, and fly. Are you missing a pet? They have consciousness too, so are still alive up there. The gifted out-of-body humans I mentioned are able to not only visit their dead pets, but have a conversation with them too. They are very intelligent, equal to, or sometimes more than humans are. Cats in particular have a somewhat low regard for human intelligence and even see them as a lower species. So where is hope there? If you're Christian, you may call it heaven or hell. A more accurate term is the astral plane, which isn't ideal as that's a bit general. The astral plane exists as a sort of multi-layered cake. Each layer is at a different frequency. Low-frequency layers are comparable to hell, and higher-frequency layers are basically heaven. But there are many layers between those. When you die, you don't get pushed into the heaven or hell that your religion says you deserve. Instead, you end up going to a layer that you resonate with. Like a radio, you tune it to a frequency, and if that frequency matches the frequency of a station, the audio from that station becomes available in your reality. Our souls are tuned to a certain frequency, which can change over time, going up and down. At the moment of death, whatever frequency we are tuned to is where we end up on the astral. So if you were at a dark point in your physical life and decided to kill yourself, you'll end up in a hellish place. The good news is that religion once again has it all wrong. You can choose to stay in hell or the lower astral for as long as you want, but you can also choose not to stay if you find yourself in that situation. Look for a light, source somewhere around you, on the distant horizon possibly, or look up and move towards that light. A helper may show up and talk to you. They may convince you to tune up in frequency and your surroundings will appear to change. That reality is still there, but you are now on a higher frequency, so perceive that one instead. You may now be thinking that, well, that would mean that everyone goes to heaven, and you would be correct. Sorry about this, but that also means Hitler went to heaven. Now, obviously, he didn't get there right away. Here's one possibility of what happened after he died, according to something I read a long time ago. His soul emerged on the lower astral plane, hordes of Jews showed up and started blasting fire at him, burning him, screaming in agony, running away, but he could not escape the burning flames. That was his perspective. From the Jews' perspective, they saw him emerge as a dark soul who had almost snuffed out his flame completely. The Jews had already forgiven him for what he did, so to heal his soul and bring it back from extinction, they projected love energy towards him. This was experienced as flames to him. It took much healing, and Hitler did come back here to experience it from the Jews' perspective to help with the balance and the healing process. If you don't buy this, that's fine. But to me it makes sense, way more sense than if you are evil you go to hell for all eternity. What would that achieve? It would be pointless. Instead, no soul is doomed to hell, you can move up Dabarod and you're ready. The same happens on this physical layer, Earth. You can offer help to someone who is depressed or suicidal, but ultimately, it's their choice to stay at that frequency. They have free will, a universal law that cannot be broken or even bent. So they must desire help first. Then you can give them whatever you feel will shift them to a higher frequency. It goes the other way too. Little Adolf having fun in the Alps as a little boy wasn't even thinking about world domination and slaughtering thousands of people, just a happy kid. Some circumstance must have happened which caused him to lower his frequency. Maybe he had a Jewish girlfriend. Then one day a Jewish boy came along and she broke up with little Adolf to go out with the new Jewish boy. Not able to cope with this might push one over the edge, and before you know it, you're invading Poland. This sort of situation has been told in film form too. Star Wars, a spoilers, the story of a happy little boy whose mother is murdered so seeks revenge, but acquires a taste for the lower frequency, the dark side, and carries on his revenge, destroying entire planets full of people in a few seconds, all because he couldn't cope with not only the loss of his mother, but the fact that she was murdered. So, death isn't all doom and gloom. There is no eternal hell for anyone, including Christians. There is no judgment from God. When you die, you and your team of guides review your lifetime, and you all decide what you need to work on in your next lifetime. If you mistreated women, reincarnating as a woman that is mistreated will maybe help you learn from your past mistakes. Who are these guides' team? They go by many names, even angels. So life down on Earth is the toughest school in the entire universe. It's not a walk in the park like other realities. You can't possibly do it on your own. You have a higher self, which as the name suggests stays at the highest frequency possible. Then you have a team of guides that stay on the astral plane and keep an eye on you. If you start going down a path that would not serve you, like thinking about invading Poland or Ukraine, they send you signals and hints to ward you away from that path. These signals take many different forms. It could be an intuitive nudge, a song lyric you hear, a film plot. They may even appear as three ghosts and show you your past, present, and future self if you continue down the path. The problem, of course, is free will. You can choose to do whatever you want to do. God will not judge or punish you. He/she didn't punish Hitler. You can hint that maybe some choice wouldn't be in your best interest, but ultimately, free will is king and an unbreakable law. Your guides will not only look out for you and assist where they can, but after you die, they'll go through your life, reviewing all the best and worst bits, but without any judgment. Simply reviewing where you need to do more work, then you all plan your next lifetime that will have the best chance of success. Again, you have free will, so you can completely veer off the planned path you worked out before being born, or you may even achieve the desired result, but in a completely unplanned way. So why do we die and keep coming back? Now sure, it's a game, the most sophisticated game simulation ever created. Earth is a school too, the harshest there is. It's harsh because you will evolve your soul in huge quantum leaps rather than spending billions of lifetimes, slowing growing into a mature soul or ascended master. Free will allows you to take the slow path like that, or spend a few hundred lifetimes on Earth to fast-track your soul. Why don't we remember that we are an infinite soul? That would spoil the fun game, but more importantly, if you remembered all your hundreds of lives on Earth, you would not be able to focus on just this one. The intense focus you're able to put into this one life is required so that you will not be detracted from that time you invaded Poland. Some people live double lives, cheating on their wife, for example. Even having two lives can sometimes cause problems forgetting what lie you told that person, so imagine living 6,000 lives at the same time. You would not be able to cope and would probably be prescribed drugs to control your schizophrenia. The final aspect of death I'd like to talk about deals with babies who die soon after birth or even in the womb. So what the heck is that all about? You signed a contract, or better still, an agreement of your life you're about to experience. You decide with your guides the country to be born in and your parents. Parts of the agreement can be changed free will, so you may have chosen your parents but decide to run away from home, or decide another country would be better for you, so you move there. You might even sign the agreement to just experience being in the womb and then return back, just dipping your toe in the waters, so to speak. Or you might agree to spend a couple of years in physical and then die of a brain tumor. With free will, you may agree to spend 90 years, but terminate that after 3 months in the womb. There you are, nice and warm and cozy in the womb. Suddenly you're out into a bright, cold, noisy environment. It's bloody awful. The potential 90 years you plan may be cut short when you reach your 20s, and the prospect of spending most of your time working for a living, growing old, ill, and eventually exiting is all too much and hurl yourself off a building. The problem with that, of course, is you'd realize you went down a bad path there and simply come back and start from scratch again, so is another choice that would not serve you. This is by no means the complete explanation of death. More of a death in a nutshell that will hopefully encourage you to enjoy what you have here and not fear exiting here either. It's not a big deal. Just like taking off your spacesuit when you're done with your 90-year space walk. Over and out, Houston. I'm Larry, and thanks for listening. I'll be back next time for more explanations of existence, or I might have a chat with one of my dead friends. We'll see.